The reading today is from Matthew 19, 13 through 15. Then children were being brought to him in order that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples spoke sternly to those who brought them. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not stop them, for it is to such as these things that the kingdom of heaven belongs." And he laid his hands on them and went on his way. This is the reading of God's word.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of the greatest things about having my various jobs is that I get to be with people all the time. Small groups, big groups, and people who are the sociologically defined old, babies in arms. I see every age and every stage in between. And so I've learned a lot. And one thing I want to be very clear about this is that I have learned not to make age-based generalizations about people. I have a little picture. I don't know if you can see it. There's a couple here. But the first thing that you don't want to generalize is that people who are maybe 1, 2, or 3 decades older than you, that they're going to dance slower than you. Because let me tell you, I am usually run ragged by everyone in this picture. And they just happen to be a couple of decades older than I am, the folks there. Don't believe that every teenager is rowdy and is going to cause trouble. Don't believe that every senior citizen is stuck in their ways, that every millennial feels entitled and acts entitled. The more people I've met, I've found out that if you meet one 40-year-old, you've met one 40-year-old. One 8-year-old, you've met one 8-year-old, one unique human being with their beautiful particularities. Don't put them in a box. That said, I do have one generalization. It seems to me, in my older age, that kids today, all kids want to be older. All kids can't wait to grow up. And I know some of you have been or are teachers, and maybe you've heard this too. I had so many kids say to me, "It's my birthday." "And how old are you?" "I'm 4, but next year I'll be 5, and then I'm going to be 6, and then I'm going to be 7. I hear them say, "I can't wait to get out of primary school. I can't wait to get to the middle school. I can't wait to get to the high school. I can't wait to graduate." And these kids, they just wish their childhood away. And don't they know that when you're young, you get to take that extra money and you get to save for toys and games. And when you get older, you have to save for gutter helmets and brakes. Come on. Don't they know that it's really fun to lose a tooth at age 7, but when you lose a tooth at age 54, it's going to cost you a bundle? I can't figure out why kids want to grow up so fast. And so I asked some tweens and teens this week. And you know what? Their answers were very understandable. More independence. More freedom. More choices. I get that. That's what I want too. I would bet that we all get that. That's what we want. And one young girl said to me, "Well, you know, everybody is always telling me to grow up." And her friend added, "Grow up and stop acting like a child." And also, why would you want to be a kid? I mean, kids don't earn any money. And doesn't that mean everything? Kids don't have any status, even less so if they're immigrants or not white or poor or don't fit into typical gender or sexuality roles. So I guess it makes sense. No wonder kids want to grow up. So why then? Why does Jesus love even favored children so much? Why does he instruct us to become like a child, to have the faith of a child? When others see children as a hindrance and try to shoo them away, there's Jesus saying, "Bring them here." Jesus said, "Whoever welcomes a little child welcomes me." What is it about a child? Well, this week I heard the former poet laureate Joy Harjo reflect on her time in a pediatric unit in a hospital. And she said this, "When I walked into each child's room, I felt a sacred tenderness. Children are fresher from our spiritual home." When I heard her say that, I have to say it touched me deeply and it felt like truth. And maybe that's what Jesus felt and thought also. Now, I know kids aren't perfect. I've never had a child, so I don't know everything, nothing, what it goes into to raising a child. We paint them to be perfect sometimes. A lot of times people say that children don't lie. But any of us who've ever been around a child or any of us who've been a child, well, we know that's a lie. So what is it that's true about them, though? What still makes them astounding and holy and favored here? Because while they... You have to admit, even though they throw tantrums, even though they do lie, children, perhaps they are fresher from their spiritual home, and they show that because I believe children are good at trust. Children know they are dependent. And of course, like every human, they might not always want to be, but children know they're not in control. And so they trust those who are called to love and care for them. And this trust in others is part of what makes them so vulnerable. And again, we as adults, I mean, the last thing we want to be is vulnerable. We don't admire vulnerability in others. It's seen as a weakness. We admire even it less in ourselves. I can't tell you how many times my inner voice has said to me, "Put on your big girl pants," right? We think that being vulnerable is a sign of weakness, but Jesus didn't. And as we walk closer to his execution on the cross, we're going to be reminded yet again just how vulnerable Jesus was and how strong that made him. I think a child's trust is also what makes them see the goodness in others. And I mean even the others that sophisticated adults are so eager to judge on sight or to keep judging by past actions. MIT, Yale, name a prestigious school that has done studies on children, and they agree. The evil of racism is learned behavior. The same thing was found at UCLA in studies around same-sex couples. Children aren't born to hate or discriminate. Adults teach them that. Children also forgive more easily. But this is kind of sad, what studies have shown about this, is that they forgive more easily until they get to be about age 4. When they're 5 and they're 6, they start to see it like I do sometimes, like many people do. They start to see forgiveness as a reciprocal tit-for-tat kind of thing. Somebody says and shows they're sorry first, and then they will forgive. I guess that's what happens when we get further away from our spiritual home. Because some of us as adults, myself included, there are some things sometimes when we just feel we can't forgive anymore. So is it any wonder why Jesus loves the little children of the world, all the little children? And so think about your own little one who is in your spirit, Canyon or Bert, so many others. We can learn from them. And we who are well past childhood, there is good news. The good news is that God loves us no matter how little we trust, or how many we people put into the other box, or how long it takes us to forgive. And with God's help, we can change. And I do have other good news from my experience. Those sociologically old people that I mentioned, I have talked with them and I learn from them and I am inspired by them because their views are more expansive and more welcoming and more forgiving than I can be yet. Maybe it's because they're closer to their spiritual home. And we'll get there too. As children of God, no matter what age or stage we are in, we are invited to become more childlike as we age. With that holy sense of wonder, with that curiosity, with the embracing of our original goodness. And so I invite you and I challenge you. It's going to be easier for me because tomorrow morning I'll be in a room with 80 people with a pink hat on my head dancing to 5 Little Monkeys. But I invite all of us to live and love like little children this week, you and I. And with the aid and encouragement of the one who himself came as a vulnerable, trusting baby, may it be so. Amen.